Welcome to the National Crawford Roundtable Podcast, a view of culture, current events, and politics through a biblical lens, with your hosts, Neil Boron, Bob Duco, Roger Marsh, and John Rush. Now let's join the conversation.
All right, welcome to the National Crawford Roundtable Podcast. And Bob Duco not with us today. I guess I'm kind of taking the lead, at least getting us started. Guys, John Rush from Rush to Reason in Denver, Roger Marsh out of California, and Neil Boron out of New York. Good morning, guys.
Hey, John.
Hey, John. How are you? Neil, how you doing?
Good. So, do we know where Bob is today, or do we have any idea?
I don't. I don't know. Have no idea.
I think he's on vacation. Let's just call it vacation.
There we go. That works. Yeah. We agreed last week we won't jab when somebody's not here, so we'll just roll along like it's no big deal.
Hey, don't say
right?
Jab. Don't say jab.
Oh, there we go. Good one.
Look out.
Good
look
one.
Out.
Which so does real. That does dovetail into some of what we're going to talk today about, guys. And this is an interesting topic. It was some things that, you know, had just been on my mind. I've interviewed some folks lately, some doctors actually, that, you know, kind of even, I'll be honest with you, kind of got me thinking about some of these things we're going to talk about today. And some of this involves, let's just call it an overall, you know, thinning of the herd. You know, what's going on? We've got this, we've talked about it in some of the weeks past. We've got this division now, even inside of the Christian community, whether you're a, you know, and I want to be careful how I say this. None of us on this program, Bob included, are anti-vaccine. None of us. In fact, Neil, you've been vaccinated. So it's not that we're anti-vaxxers at all. There's just some of us. I know Bob feels this way. I do as well. Roger, I think you do also, that, you know, this is a personal choice that people need to be able to make without being coerced, or in a lot of ways now being forced to take the vaccine. And I'll give you guys a story. I've got an email a couple of days ago from one of my listeners that one of our local venues in town in Denver, and this is interesting how this is starting to work, guys. You go into a sporting event or a concert, and the vaccinated get a nice little armband, says they're vaccinated, everything's cool, it looks neat and all this. If you're not vaccinated, you get a big X on the back of your hand. And a magic marker X on the back of your hand. Now, to the person that actually sent this email in to me, and by the way, if you're listening, thank you for listening to us during the week and the podcast and all, and I appreciate those emails as well. But this particular person was wondering, is there any legal action somebody could take that you're, you know, being singled out in this fashion? And the reality is, guys, even in our current legal system that we have, even constitutionally, because it's a private venue and the things that they're doing there, you can choose not to go if you don't want to be labeled in such a way. But my point is, that's the division that's happening in the country today.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Did the people with magic markers have brown shirts on? I'm just curious.
Good one, Neil. Good one. You know, Neil, you say that sort of in jest, but guys, seriously, and this is part of my quote-unquote, you know, fear, being bothered by, whatever you want to call it. I don't know if fear is the right word, but there's some things that I'm genuinely concerned about. And Neil, what you just said a moment ago is one of those things, because it seems like the farther down this path we go, and the more empowering we are of that type of behavior, the more division we're causing. And the question I've got, and Roger, I want you to chime in first, and Neil, you follow up, is this all by design, or did we just happen to get here by chance?
You know, it's interesting, when the pandemic first broke out, there's a guy who has a ministry program. I think his program is on all of our stations, but I won't mention him because he appreciates the anonymity. And he was pointing to some larger issues, economically, you know, world government-wise, things like that. And his comment to me, just offhandedly, was, he said, COVID provided the perfect cover for this. You know, the fact that this was happening, that it was real. I mean, you know, there was so much confusion surrounding it. Remember, a lot of us, I think even we were a little somewhat skeptical at first that this was such a bad thing, you know, in terms of it was just a bad form of the flu. And then half of us got it, and, you know, people are getting vaccinated. So it's like, well, obviously it's real. But it's amazing to me. I mean, with the breathtaking speed that governments worldwide, and especially here in the United States, have been so quick to take draconian measures. I mean, we just had a recall election of our governor, which did not go through because of the way that the COVID numbers are manipulated here in California. I don't know what it's like in the People's Republic of Colorado and New York, but the numbers here get manipulated all the time. Gavin Newsom ran on a platform of, I identified COVID, I protected you from COVID, I will continue to protect you from COVID, and it worked. I mean, he convinced enough people who are heavily vaccinated or afraid of, you know, dying from this in the larger counties in California to come out and support him, because it would be, quote unquote, disastrous if a conservative like Larry Elder won. And it worked. And the numbers we were told in the media were, the hospitals are overflowing, there's no more oxygen, there's no more ventilators, mm-hmm. this is another surge, it's another spike. But then the LA News Corp just came out earlier this week and said, oh, by the way, hospitalizations have been going down for 25 of the past 27 days. Well, that's not what we heard leading up to right. the election, but it's amazing how all you have to do is tell people, using words like spike and surge, that mm-hmm. it's a problem, and people, well, I don't want it to be a problem, so, you know, therefore I better vote for that guy. It's amazing how many people mm-hmm. are being led to believe that these are the only people who can save us. And so toward the thinning of the herd, John, I mean, it's an excellent point. Look at the initial places where people were first reported, you know, dying of this. It was nursing homes. It was places mm-hmm. where the mm-hmm. most vulnerable, the people that we should have been protecting the most, were dying the fastest because of this dread disease. It wasn't school-age children. I mean, it wasn't college-age students. It wasn't people mm-hmm. under the age of 25. And yet, the media turned their head completely the other direction when, and Neil, to your, you know, you live in this dream too on the East Coast, with Andrew Cuomo and the numbers that they were lying about the number right. of people who were dying. I mean, that's where the thinning of the herd talk starts to come up, and you say, well, wait, we've got stats to back it up.
Well, and Neil, I know you had loved ones, you know, you lost loved ones with COVID and all that. So yeah, we know COVID is and has been real. We're not denying that at all. It's just, how have they been using it, and has it been used purposely to do some nefarious things by the way, not just the U.S. government, but I believe all governments in a way. And you can put your pastor hat on and talk about that for a moment.
Yeah, well, I don't even know where to begin, because there's so much to say, and I think you guys probably feel the same way, that there's sort of a tidal wave of stuff being thrown at us. You know, who's behind this? Why the draconian measures? How are people reacting? What's the truth? I mean, there's just so many questions to be raised. But a couple things immediately that come to mind. Well, you mentioned Cuomo and the nursing homes and people lying here. Eventually, that stuff catches up to you, and I think it had a lot to do with why ultimately mm-hmm. people wanted him out of office. Yes, there was the sexual harassment charges, but he was also going to be faced with having to answer for literally lying and covering up about how many people were being killed in nursing homes. Let me also mention that while my mother and father both were listed secondarily as having died of COVID, in other words, my mom's death certificate said adult failure to thrive, line two said as a result of COVID. I mean, she was clearly dying, and it was in her last, you know, 2 or 3 days of life that they listed her as COVID positive. It was literally in my dad's last 1 or 2 days of life that he was listed as COVID positive. So I think that some of those things have to be looked at too. I mean, is the 650,000 people that supposedly died of COVID real? Is that a real number? I'm not saying that no one died, because we know of people, a family friend recently, but had major pre-existing conditions, comorbidities and stuff associated with it. So I'm not sure that virtually anything we're hearing from the news media or even from public health officials is entirely accurate. And you can always focus on one stat as opposed to another. Let me give you an example. I got an email recently from somebody who was very upset, you know, that we were talking about COVID mandates and the hospital system and people losing their jobs. I mean, a lot of that came down Monday this week here in New York State. A lot of people either lost their jobs or will soon. They're on, right, like temporary leave, and I'm sure we'll discuss that at some point. But just, you know, blasting me and us and anybody who would think that this isn't just a public health crisis, period. Black and white, it's public health crisis, just deal with it, blah, blah, blah. And then later said, and isn't it interesting that all of you conservatives always talk about the importance of, well, in this case, you're talking about the importance of having autonomy over your own body. You know, it's our right to choose what we do with our bodies. But then you turn around and say that it's not a woman's right to choose. So I raised the issue. I said, well, I think a woman has the right to do with her, whatever she wants with her body, but not the baby that lives inside of her, because that's an entirely different individual.
That's right.
And talked a little bit about sonogram technology, even sent a picture of a baby in utero who then was born and looked almost exactly 100% like the baby that was in the womb. So I pointed that out, and he actually counted the words in my email then sent me a list that, like, you know, you use 351 words to talk about the vaccine mandates, but 862 words to talk about, you know, whatever it was, about the abortion issue. That just shows, you know, your preconceived bias against abortion, and it reveals who you people are and stuff. And I wrote him back, and I just said, with all due respect, 99.97% of children survive COVID, where 99.999% of children don't survive abortion. And we're talking about 75 million abortions. So which one do you think is really the public health crisis? So I don't know. It's unbelievable, the level of deception. And I don't want to go too far off the rails, but it almost feels like a demonic level of deception. I'm not saying that COVID isn't real or that there isn't a crisis that needs to be dealt with in terms of some people coming down with it and needing to get better, and how do we best protect the population and that kind of thing. Those are, I think, are real questions to deal with. But what's driving the insanity and the blank stares that people have when you look at them and say, but have you looked at this particular piece of information? They just stare at you like you're from another planet. And I think there's some kind of something going on behind the scenes that we don't really know.
All right, guys, with that, let's take a quick break. There's some things there that I want to unpack, Neil, that you just said a moment ago. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. This is the National Crawford Roundtable.
Be transformed by the Word of God with Alistair Begg and Truth for Life. Every weekday, Alistair Begg teaches the Bible through in-depth verse-by-verse attention to the Word of God. You can listen to Truth for Life on your local Crawford Broadcasting Station or listen online at truthforlife.org. Please support this important ministry with your donations at the truthforlife.org website or by calling 888-588-7884, and be sure to let them know you heard about Truth for Life from the National Crawford Roundtable podcast.
And we're back, National Crawford Roundtable podcast, and this first half you guys typically listen to live or on air over the airwaves. The second half you can listen to via the podcast, which you can find all over, by the way, and also listen to the entire thing, our entire hour, if you'd like, on that same podcast as well. Neil, there's a couple things there I want to unpack. Roger, I want to throw this at you as well. So a couple of things that Neil just said. One of the topics we're going to get into is this quote-unquote thinning of the herd when it comes to certain areas of the workforce. And then real quick, Neil, I just want to add in that this is not about public health. Everybody listening to me, please know that. And I don't care what side of the fence you're on. And we'll get into why I feel this isn't about public health. But guys, I can look at the southern border and know exactly what's going on there. It's public. Even the liberals have acknowledged what's going on the southern border. Mm-hmm. If this is about public health, we'd have a different southern border, which tells you this is not about public health. Roger, what do you think?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. It's not about public health one bit. If it were about public health, I mean, I'll share a story to kind of illustrate the point. A very well-known guy in the Christian world, I think each of us have had him on our program at one point or another, but again, for anonymity, he and his wife both have had COVID. They both have been vaccinated, and he was talking about the therapeutic treatment that he is getting right now. He's taking ivermectin. He and his wife are twice a week in kind of a cocktail, if you will, that zinc and, you know, the Z packet, that type of thing.
Right.
And he was musing back and forth. He says, I don't understand, if this is a public health crisis, why this type of thing. He goes, I could not get this combination of medication at my pharmacist. They refuse, regular doctors will refuse to even consider something like this. And whether it's hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin or whatever, and obviously, you know, what do you see from the media? Ivermectin, well, that's a horse tranquilizer and this, that. Who would be stupid enough to take that? Well, of course who would be? You don't take it in that dosage, for crying out loud. I mean, look at the diet pills that people have been taking for years that are made out of horse antihistamines. I mean, you don't take the same dosage as a horse because, I don't know, maybe the horse is bigger. I mean, can we use a little bit of common sense here? I mean, for crying out loud, you know, and here, but here's the media just completely the baseless claims that, you know, the lies, the misinformation. My goodness, I woke up this morning and opened up my my email, and here's a headline from the New York Times, again, to stop the spread of false information. And so what do we get? YouTube banning all vaccine misinformation to its platform in an effort to reduce the spread of false claims about immunization. Well, false claims. Todd Starnes was on my program a month or so ago. He posted on his Instagram yesterday, hey, at the advice of my doctor, I had the first jab of Moderna, and it put me in the hospital. That's not a false claim. Todd went to the hospital. I mean, some people get Moderna, and it works fine. fine. I think that's the one my parents had, either that or Pfizer. They're doing great. Both jabs, they're doing fine. But when Todd Starnes got the jab, he went to the hospital. That's not misinformation. What the misinformation is the New York Times telling you that what Todd Starnes told you is a lie. And that's not true.
Roger, you
don't get me
great
started.
Point. No, no, great point. And the YouTube thing this morning, same thing. I woke up to that, opened the computer up, same exact headline I read. And really, it even goes a little bit beyond what you just said. It's really anything to do that they don't feel is correct when it comes to vaccinations. If you're just putting out factual data, factual numbers even, they're going to ban that video. So much so that Russia is basically talking about, wait a minute, because you know how the Russians are when it comes to vaccines in general and so on. And the Russians are basically saying, wait a minute, time out. You go down this path, we're going to ban YouTube from Russia altogether. This is a battle, by the way, that's not done yet. Just saying, not over with yet.
Can I ask a question? Is there any kind of a vaccination program? Was there, first of all, for the people that were streaming in from South America, 6 months or a year ago? What about the Afghan refugees and now the Haitian refugees? Is there any kind of official forced mandate vaccination program for any of these people?
And can I jump in on? Well, can I jump in on this too? Just in terms of terminology, back to the guy I was discussing earlier. This is not a vaccine. I mean, I think we've established this here on the program. I'm trying to call it the jab or the shot more than anything else, because when we all had our vaccinations, our childhood vaccinations, we didn't have to go back and get them every year. This is a shot. This is a clinical trial. It's the biggest national, international clinical trial in the history of medicine. And for some people, it's working out fine. And for other people, it's not working out fine. And I'm sure we'll get into later the whole, the breakthrough, cases of all the people. I mean, I don't mean to sound, disrespectful to people who've been jabbed. And so, Neil, obviously, you're our jab guy here. But when I see the cases of people running around saying, okay, well, I've been vaccinated, so you have to get vaccinated, so I don't wind up getting this from you, but you've been vaccinated. I mean, a serious question. Have you and your wife experienced any negative symptoms? Have you tested positive for COVID since you got the vaccine? How did it work for you guys and your family?
It's worked fine. I mean, I'm not advocating that people should get the vaccine. I got it for one reason alone, really, is that 80% of our clients and business that we do at WDCX Radio, our ministry partners and others, are north of the border in Canada because Toronto's sitting there. It's the third largest city in North America. They're within our listening area. So if we're going to do any business there, but also my mom was from Canada. So my family, half my family lives north of the border. And I suspected and was correct that even when they would open the border, which they did a few months ago for travelers, by the way, going from the U.S. into Canada, not from Canada into the U.S., that border is still closed. So that's interesting. But anyhow, however, you can fly here. You can fly here, but you can't drive across the border. But let's go back to it. I mean, if I wanted to cross the border into Canada, I figured not only are they going to open it slowly with restrictions, they're going to say you're going to have to get tested in advance, and you do have to get tested. Secondarily, you'll need to be vaccinated, and you do need to be vaccinated. I'm not fearful of the vaccination. I'm not fearful of not having the vaccination. I'm very fearful, though, about how people are utilizing information or misinformation about all of this to twist what people think, and what narrative they're trying to push. That's tremendously scary.
Yeah, agreed. And again, Neil, to your point, that's my fear as well. How are these things being used? The narratives, even the data, in the way some of it's been manipulated. Roger, to your point, the fact that at times I'm not sure we're even getting all of the real data. I mean, I'm one of those freaks that looks at the COVID data for, not only Colorado, but the U.S. on a daily basis. And I look at the death rate, number one, then I look at the caseload second, knowing that in both cases, they're probably inflated numbers. The reality is, even with all that inflation, in fact, even the CDC, I believe, came out yesterday or the day before, and they're even talking about how this probably won't have much to do with anything we've got going on, health-wise, by about March of this next year. So even they're talking about how this thing is, from this point forward, just going to continue to decline and decline and decline. And yet, and this is where I want to get to next. I know we got to take a break in just a moment. I'll throw it over to you, Roger. But what I want to get into next is this. Neil just talked about a moment ago. There are now companies. There are now law enforcement. There's government agencies. There's defense contractors. All of this we can go down the list of that are now being told, if you don't get vaccinated by such and such date, you're going to lose your job. I get, guys, I'm not exaggerating, I get at least an email a day from a listener saying, John, what do I do? I've been at this job 25 years, 27 years, 22 years, whatever the case may be. What do I do next? I don't want to quit my job. I like what I do. I'm probably unemployable going out someplace else, given the fact I've been at this job for that long. You know, what choice do I have? And if I have to get, to your point, Roger, the jab, you know, which one do I get? I'm not a medical doctor. I can't make those decisions. I always come back and say that because it's not my point to you know, to say that. It's not in my wheelhouse. I'm not able to give those types of answers. But Roger, I want to throw it to you, and I know we got to take a break, so I'll let you handle that part of it as well. But you know, where are we going when it comes to these mandates, and what's going to happen to the workforce in the process of those mandates?
You know, it's a fascinating scenario to have to be even considering something like this. And on the other side of this break, why don't we get down to some of the nuts and bolts of what this looks like on this edition of the National Crawford Roundtable Podcast.
Dr. James Dobson left a successful career in academia to preserve and promote the biblical family in America. The radio broadcasting ministry of Dr. Dobson spans over four decades, earning him 17 honorary doctorate degrees and an induction into the National Radio Hall of Fame. Today, Dr. Dobson continues to champion marriage and parenthood through Family Talk. Listen every weekday at drjamesdobson.org and be sure to reference the National Crawford Roundtable podcast when asked how you listen to Family Talk.
Continuing with the National Crawford Roundtable and the Roundtable Podcast, I'm Roger Marsh along with John Rush and Neil Boron. Bob Duco is vacationing this week, as it were, and we're looking forward to having him back next week. You know, the idea that people are literally being forced to choose between, do I get the jab or do I keep my job? Do I get the jab or do I see my family? I had lunch a couple of Sundays ago. A client of who's also a good friend is supporting a couple of missionaries in Ivory Coast, and so they came and we all went out to a restaurant to have something to eat. And they were discussing their scenario. Both of them had COVID, and because they have family, their daughters still live in the States. Neil, for the same reason you mentioned, they said, we just went ahead and got the jab because we didn't want to have to quarantine for 2 weeks and, you know, wanted to get through paperwork and that type of stuff. And they have a very similar attitude to the Boron family. We were eating on the patio outside because it was a nice day, you know, in Southern California, and we were kind of enjoying that. But then the wife got up to use the restroom, and so she put on her mask and went inside the restaurant to use the restroom. When she came back out, she was holding her vaccination card. And so I asked her, I'd never seen one before, and I asked her, you know, why she had it. She said, well, they asked me to show it before I came in. And I said, really, you had to have proof of vaccination? Apparently, we were dining in a city where you had to, like John, you were talking about, not so much the X's on the back of your hand, but that's where it was. And I thought, oh my goodness, so now you have to make the decision, am I going to get jabbed or not if I want to use the restroom? I mean, are we really getting to that point? I mean, I realize private business, you guys can do whatever you want to, and we love this eating at this place. But that was their decision because that's the city that they're in, and they have locations in other cities, and they're making that mandatory in all of their locations just because the mothership is in a city that does that. And I've talked to people. I've had listeners. I've had family members. You know, what do I do? What do I do? And we've had some. It's interesting to see how God has worked. I just was talking with one member of our extended family the other day who was coming up on a deadline of actually September 30th, where they had to make a decision. You will get jabbed or you will lose your job. And this is 20-year veteran, IT world, you know, what are you going to do type of situation. Right. Could probably find another job to work remotely, but said, hey, look, I put a lot of time and effort into this job, and I think they like me. Got a call from his boss a couple of days ago and said, hey, we're going to go ahead and put you on the permanent remote working list, and because of that, you're not subject to the mandate. And I thought, well, isn't that cool? There are ways around this. I think it's going to take more people being able, especially people of the Christian faith, saying, look, how much is it worth to you? I've had family members who said, I just got jabbed because I don't want to start over. You know, I mean, I don't necessarily want this in my system, but I'll take that risk. You're taking as big a risk, if not more of one, to say, I'm going to stand up for what I believe in, which is, did God tell you to get the jab or not? In Neil's case, it was an easy decision. Go ahead and get it. In the case of some of our listeners, it's not such an easy decision.
That's right.
I really think this is where the faith over fear thing has to come in, to say, at some point, if you're willing to risk your health, if you think it's a risk, to get jabbed, to keep your job, is it not also worth the risk to say, I'm willing to put my job on the line and trust that God has something better for me on the other side?
Can I just throw out a rhetorical question? Because this is rolling around my brain while you guys are talking. In New York City right now, there are vaccine mandate requirements for restaurants and stuff. Not not entirely unlike what you're talking about, but people needing literally to show a vaccine card to get into a restaurant in New York City. That's not the case all across the state. So here in the Buffalo area, which is, you know, 400 miles to the west of New York City, a little different scenario. But I'm just curious, like, what if you owned a private establishment? Let's say that you own a small restaurant and you know, you're not under any obligation from any government agency right now to require that people be vaccinated before entering your restaurant. So you just happen to be a believer in not taking vaccinations. So you hang a sign on your wall that says, outside the door, that says unvaccinated only. In other words, the only people that are welcome in this restaurant are unvaccinated. Somebody challenges you and says, why in the world would you hang a sign like that? You say, well, I'm not really afraid of getting the coronavirus, but I am afraid, and this isn't a joke, I am afraid of the poison ideology that comes along with these vaccination mandates, and we don't want those kind of people in our restaurant. You can almost see that somebody somewhere is going to try that. I know it sounds bizarre, but on the other hand, all of the momentum seems to be going in the direction of you must be vaccinated, and you're poison if you don't believe that. But I think that there's a silent majority, perhaps even in the United States, that feel the opposite. Like that if you're buying into this lock, stock, and barrel, like the end of the world is going to happen if you don't get vaccinated, that you've actually swallowed the poison pill yourself. And I don't know. It's troubling.
No, Neil, everything you just said, by the way, you make some great points. And guys, I'm not a doctor. I'm going to say what I'm going to say next based upon doctors that I've interviewed, people that have done far more study of this than I. They've read all the papers. They know how all this stuff works from the inside out. And here's the other reality, and we've not talked about this yet, guys. If you're getting a vaccine today, Neil, you're different because you got one early, totally different situation for you and others like you. But if you're getting a jab today just to keep your job, I don't think folks even realize this, guys. The jab you're getting doesn't even cover the current strain of coronavirus that's out there anyway. So the reality is the virus is newer than the vaccines we now have out to be jabbed with. That's why these boosters are now going to come along. And the reality is you're going to get a jab today to just keep your job. That, by the way, you could end up with blood clots and other issues over. And those are factual things that come along with this vaccine, by the way. And you could end up with that. And by the way, not protecting yourself from the current variant, that's why so many are still getting it that have been vaccinated, because the current vaccine doesn't protect you from the current variant of the coronavirus itself. I know we got 2 minutes before we got to go to the bottom of the hour break. Roger, what do you want to add to that?
Well, I would add that I've seen this happen in our family. I mean, I've seen it happen where people who have had health situations that were compromised wound up getting the jab, and it led to their ultimate demise. I mean, it actually kind of accelerated the process. I've also seen people who had compromised health who took the jab and it didn't. But you're right. It's more than just the medical side of it now. It really is becoming the mind control thing. And I think when we get to the other side of this break and get into the podcast part of the National Crawford Roundtable today, we'll talk a little bit more about this, not from a conspiracy theory standpoint, but rather from the standpoint of, okay, what has this done to us health-wise? Mm-hmm. We know, economically we know, but what has this done to kind of the American psyche? I mean, the soul of our nation, and how do we as Christians respond to that?
Okay, guys, let's do that. We're going to wrap things up. We'll come back. We got the second half of the National Crawford Roundtable podcast coming up in a few minutes. And by the way, please give us a 5-star review. You can listen on all of the podcast platforms that are out there. I'm not going to name them because there's far too many, but just check us out. And it's easy. It's the National Crawford Roundtable podcast. And guys, we'll come right back. Round 2 is next, right here again on the National Crawford Roundtable.
This has been a Crawford Broadcasting production.
All right, guys, we're back. National Crawford Roundtable. Myself, John Rush, out of Denver. Bob Duco, by the way, out of Detroit, is on vacation today. Roger Marsh, out of California. Neil Boron, out of Buffalo, New York. Guys, a great first half hour, I should say, of the podcast. You guys, you can tell when all of us do more than an hour show, that, you know, when we do a segment, it's almost like, well, the first hour is wrapped up, now we go to the second. And anyways, it always you know, kind of rolls off the tongue that we've done more than a half an hour. But we do a half an hour that we play live on air, and then the second half you guys can hear via the podcast, which, if you're listening now, that's typically how you're hearing us. And by the way, guys, I don't think any of this is conspiratorial at all. The things that we're throwing out as questions, by the way, I think everybody should be asking the same questions. And my fear is, as a nation and the rest of the world, no offense, guys, I get where the rest of the world comes from. A lot of them live in I'll just be honest, guys. Never Never Land. They're run by dictators. They're either socialistic or communistic. That, you know, we're the only constitutional republic in the entire world, so we're the only governmental system like what we have. I don't really care how the rest of the world buys into vaccine or doesn't buy into them. My concern is when we, as independent United States citizens that have always stood our ground, have always questioned what's going on, we've always had, you know, enough wisdom to say, wait a minute, time out, Mr. Government. Is this really what we should or shouldn't be doing? Guys, in the last 18 months, as a country, we have thrown away all of that. We have taken our freedom and said, here, Mr. Government, here's our freedom. Provide me safety. That's not how this country works, guys.
That's supposed to be government for the people, by the people. Go ahead, Roger.
And of the people, I was just going to say, John, to your point, though, these freedoms have been eroding for years. We just commemorated the 20th anniversary of not only the worst act of terror that ever happened on the United States soil prior to what's been happening here with all the misinformation campaign, but it was also the beginning of a huge erosion of American freedoms, because it's amazing how many people want to put safety first. You know, we've always talked about safety first, like that's some kind of virtue. I mean, life by definition is dangerous. I mean, and as Bob was sharing, I think it was last week, that we have a much greater risk of dying in a car crash than we do of COVID or, you know, whatever. I mean, you have a greater chance of being struck by lightning. You know, I mean, there are all sorts of things that people die from. Look at the leading causes of death in the United States every year, and you'd be stunned to find out that literally running with scissors is one of those. I mean, it is.
Well, you know, Roger, and I know that some of those sound outlandish. Let me give you a real one, though. And this is where I know this isn't about public safety as well and public health. We've known now for years that one of our leading causes, it is the number one leading cause of death in the United States of America. There's two: heart disease and cancer. Those are the two leading causes of death in the United States of America, which those two combined take about 1.3 million to 1.4 million individuals on an annual basis. Not total throughout COVID time period of 18 plus months, but annually that's what happens. And yet, we know that one of the leading causes in both of those particular, you know, illnesses, if you would, or diseases, is processed sugar and flour. It's a known fact, guys. Everybody out there, no one can disagree with me that one of the leading causes of heart disease and also of cancer is the high sugar that we all consume as Americans in this country. Some 170 pounds annually is what each individual typically consumes, and the majority of that high processed white flour or white sugar. If we really were concerned about people's health, guys, we wouldn't be allowing that to be sold. And I'm not advocating that. I'm just saying this is not about public health.
Right. Well, toward that end, when it comes to public health, I found out earlier this week that a very dear friend of mine, you know, everybody, when we're going through, you know, junior high and high school and the world doesn't really make sense, there's always that parent or those parents who kind of become your mom and dad because your own mom and dad are crazy, right? You know, I don't want to hear it. Well, this woman was that for me. And she passed away earlier this week. She had been a cigarette smoker when she was younger. She and her husband both did. And she was 87 years of age, and she died of stage 4 lung cancer. She was diagnosed about 4 months ago. And I was doing some research and trying to put together kind of a nice little eulogy and tribute for her. And that's when I discovered, you know, if you ask people what's the leading cause of cancer, leading cause of death by cancer in the United States, almost everybody in women would say breast cancer, because that's, we have breast cancer awareness and save the boobies and pink ribbons and all that stuff.
Right.
But the leading cause, the cancer that kills more women in America, is lung and bronchial cancer. But that's not sexy enough. You can't sell lung cancer to women.
Right.
You know, you can't have a walk for the cure for lung cancer. So that the media have convinced people that this is the leading, that breast cancer is the thing we have to stamp out. Because if we could stamp out breast cancer, look at all the lives we're going to save. And again, for anyone who's listening who's dealt with breast cancer and wrestled with it, God bless you. And there's some great organizations doing some wonderful things. I'm so grateful for every time I hear about someone who was able to battle it. A very dear friend and colleague of mine lost a battle with metastatic stage 4 cancer about 3 years ago, and it was heartbreaking to watch a 35-year-old woman lose her life. But if we want to talk real stats like John's talking about, let's get rid of processed sugar. Let's do war on what causes lung cancer in women. Let's get real about what's happening. But now the mindset is, well, you know what the reality is? If you're unvaccinated, you're killing people. That's the narrative. If you're vaccinated, you are cured. And if you are unvaccinated, you're killing people. When the reality is, if you get the jab, you have a better chance of surviving COVID if you get it. And the vast majority of people who get the jab don't have any ill effects and don't transmit it. But at the same time, time, the vast majority of people who get COVID who are not vaccinated survive it anyway. You know, I mean, so let's just talk about what's real instead of scaring people half to death with everything that's being projected in the media right now.
When is there going to be a campaign against processed sugar, against trans fat, and against smoking?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, if we really care about this stuff.
Yeah, no, great point, guys. And again, I know we'll take a break here in just a couple of minutes here, but I want to switch gears, and I really do want to talk about what's going to happen in some of the major areas of the workforce. And what I mean by that is we've got law enforcement, and there's even unions that are against, you know, law enforcement and firefighters getting the jab. We've got the military now, including defense contractors, that are being told, you have to get the jab. We've got military members that I think are looking at, you know, there's some Navy SEALs even that are looking at lawsuits right now against the military for saying, wait a minute, we're healthy, we're young, we don't need this, why do we have to go down this path? And some of these guys may end up either not being on the battlefield, if you would, quote unquote, in those special operations, or they'll just leave altogether. And then on top of that, we now have healthcare workers across the country that have literally now staged entire walkouts because they're saying, we're not doing this. So my question next to you, and I know we got to take a break, Neil, I'm going to throw it to you when we come back, though, is what's going to happen in all of these different areas of society? Because I do believe some of these people are going to leave. It's going to change the makeup of some of those things we're talking about right now. And how does that affect us moving forward? Neil, I'll throw it to you. You can lead us into the break as well.
Well, I'll just answer quickly because I don't have a lot to say about it, but I would love to hear more about what you guys have to say. I haven't given a ton of thought to this, but let me just add the one thing that immediately comes to mind is that we're going to see a downgrade in the quality of healthcare and law enforcement, and some of the other areas are going to be drastically affected by these mandates because there are many people who are dead set against taking the vaccine, and they are going to be leaving their jobs, and they're happy to be leaving their jobs because they don't want to be forced to take the vaccine. So the question is, who's going to step in to replace them? And it isn't like maybe some of these were poor employees anyway, but I think that the vast majority of healthcare workers and law enforcement are wonderful for our society. They're people that are well equipped to do the jobs that they were, you know, set forth to do. And the reality is, if they're gone, then they need to be replaced with adequate people. Where are they going to come from? I have no idea. And it's kind of scary, actually, to think about where they may be coming from, as you see an infusion of people coming from all over the world who may have different credentials, have operated under systems with different standards, and all of a sudden, many of them, I'm sure, are going to be taking the place of some of the very American citizens who used to occupy them. So anyway, we need to take a break. We'll be back with more here on the National Crawford Roundtable podcast.
Learn how to walk the narrow path with Steve Gregg. With over 40 years of studying the Bible, Steve Gregg is passionate about teaching you how to apply scriptural wisdom to every aspect of your life. Listen to The Narrow Path on your local Crawford Broadcasting Station or online at thenarrowpath.com. The Narrow Path is 100% listener supported. Please keep this vital ministry going with your generous financial support. And let them know you heard about The Narrow Path on the National Crawford Roundtable podcast.
Back with the National Crawford Roundtable podcast, my name is Neil Boron. I'm in Buffalo, New York. Roger Marsh is with us in Southern California. John Rush kind of leading the discussion today out of Colorado. And Bob Duco, the amazing, the legendary Bob Duco, on vacation this week. He's, of course, a talk show host in Detroit, Michigan. But guys, I don't know. I was, John, I think you were the one who I was talking with a little bit earlier about, like, where are the people going to come from who are going to replace all of these? Right. Literally, in the end, it's going to be hundreds of thousands of healthcare workers, law enforcement personnel, and other people that are being forced out of their jobs because they're unwilling to take the vaccine mandates. How do we not see a decline in the quality of service in those areas? I think it's impossible we won't see that decline.
Neil, you are spot on. And I think a couple of thoughts I have. Roger, I want to get your thoughts on this as well, but I'll... Since you ended with healthcare, I'll start there. I think also, Neil, let's add to the fact that a lot of the folks that will be coming in this again, this is not a tinfoil hat. These are the realities, folks, of what's going on right in front of our eyes. These will be individuals that come from other countries, because that's where they're going to have to come from, Neil. You're exactly right. And they could come from folks, you know, from places all over, Africa, et cetera. You name it, they could come from lots of different places. And the reality is these particular places are used to socialized medicine. They do things differently there. They're used to honestly, Neil, to not providing the standard of care that we're used to in this country because their mm-hmm. system is such that it's completely different than what we have. To me, this is also another step towards that whole government-run healthcare system, and the more people they have in that world that are less resistant to it, the better off they, the powers that be, feel that we're at. Let's go to law enforcement. I'll give you my thoughts on that real quick, Roger, and then you can come back and tell me what you think on both of these. I look at this also as just a continuation of the quote-unquote war on police, war on law enforcement. And I've said all along, guys, that I feel like this defunding of the police and this war on law enforcement isn't because the powers that be don't want law enforcement. No, they want law enforcement. They want their own law enforcement. And let me explain. The current enforcement that we have by far across this country, from local police departments to sheriff's departments to state patrols and so on, and I know a lot of these guys individually, so I feel like I can speak to this in a very real way. These guys are pretty hardcore, constitutionally driven individuals. They understand the rule of law. They want the rule of law. If all of a sudden the government said, you've got to go door to door and confiscate guns, the majority of these individuals would say, no, I'm either going to quit my job or I'm going to stand on the side of the Joe Citizen. I'm not going down that path. I'm not going to institute that mandate because it's just not who I am. It's not what I vowed to uphold when I took this particular job that I agreed to take and uphold the Constitution in doing so. If you replace all of them with folks that have come in that think the Constitution should be replaced, which, by the way, Joe Biden believes, if those are the individuals we now have running law enforcement, getting some of these other things done, guys, becomes much easier when you've That's got right. all the powers that be, including military. That's the other one we didn't talk about. When they're all on the same page you're on, it makes getting these quote-unquote mandates and things that they don't like done, or the changes they want done changed, it makes it much easier when all of the quote unquote lemmings that are working for you are on the same page. Roger, what do you think?
You know, I couldn't agree more. The whole idea here of leftist theology, if you will, and leftist government and leftist everything, it's all based on how does it sound and how can you sell it to people. It really doesn't have any practical application in real life. Take the socialized medicine, for example. Let's take the best healthcare system in the world. I mean, warts and all, we still get better treatment here in mm-hmm. the United States than in any country in the world. But let's tell a bunch of people who've been told their whole life that socialism is a better way to go because it's more fair and it's more kind and everybody will get the same thing. And all of a sudden you begin to believe, oh, you know what? I can get that same level of care for no money at all out of pocket because, well, the government should just provide that for me. Guys, the government is, one of my sponsors is a personal injury attorney who used to work for insurance companies. And she said, look, I've never seen an insurance company overpay a claim. I mean, they're first and foremost, what they're dealing with is they are trying to protect their money. So, of course, they're going to give you a lowball offer right off the bat. Sorry, your car got dinged up. Here's $1,000 to fix your fender when maybe the chassis cracked and you've got some major medical and they don't want to have to pay it. The reality is the government doesn't have any vested interest in your health and my health other than keeping us alive to pay taxes. They don't care about us. And I don't say that sarcastically. You and I both know that's true. The reality is when it comes to health care, when it comes to law enforcement or whatever, they're going to do whatever they can to check off the boxes and make sure that they pay lip service to it. But if they're anything, I think it's ironic that there are so many members here in the People's Republic of California, so many members of the Los Angeles Police Department who are saying, no, we're not going to do it. I think they're up to over 1,800 police officers are ready to walk off the job rather than get the jab. LA Fire Department, it's over 500 so far. And the list keeps growing. And yet this is a city that is so badly mismanaged that when they get any kind of federal earmarking to solve the problem of homelessness, for example, and it's huge in downtown LA, 90% of it goes where? To the police unions to pay overtime for police officers to arrest the homeless. So, I mean, that whole system is so corrupt. They don't care about solving the homeless problem. It's how do we make sure that the union bosses get their money? And, it's nice to see some police officers that have some moxie about them saying, hey, this is not about, money and overtime and this, that, and the other thing. This is about, our health, it's about our safety, and it's also about what's right and what isn't right for the U.S. and good for them. But you can see, John, every aspect, whether it's military, whether it's the medical community. I mean, Neil, for crying out loud, aren't 92% of doctors and nurses in New York already vaccinated? I mean, they've gotten the jab already. So, I mean, it's not like everybody, there's going to be a big run in hospitals where all of a sudden everyone's going to get COVID from their doctor, from their nurse. So I don't understand why these people can't conscientiously conscientiously object and continue to serve in the capacity that they have for the past year and a half with no vaccination, not putting anybody's life at risk.
I'm trying to think what it would have been like a couple of years ago in the NFL if the NFL had said that if you kneel during the national anthem, you're fired and you're banned forever from being in the National Football League. It obviously would have cost some people their jobs because some people would have had the stalwart conviction to say, look, this is important enough to me. I'm going to kneel during the national anthem because it's my freedom to do so, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to listen to your rules and regulations, and I'm out. But that would have ultimately then weeded out anybody in the National Football League who felt like that was an important issue to them, that they wanted to say that, you know, wasn't Colin Kaepernick's whole thing originally about police brutality ultimately, and so he wasn't going to support the flag in the United States because, you know, because of police brutality and his claims about that. But but you can see what would have happened. They would have been weeded out. And really, that's exactly what's going on here. It's if you won't get the vaccine, then you're a bad seed. And so we are going to impose mandates that say that if you don't get it, you're out. And it's a way to clean house. So thinning the herd makes perfect sense if you look at it from that kind of a perspective. And there's really, who could argue that there wouldn't be joy or, you know, jubilee on the part of some people who are making these mandates to say, finally, we got rid of the riffraff. Okay, that's they're right. out. We can move forward and we don't have to worry about them anymore.
That's right. Neil, I think, again, it goes along with all of what we've been talking about. And I don't think this is conspiratorial at all. I think this is very factual. You look at it in a common sense way. You look at exactly what's happening, how things are going, the way people are being treated, the way that those that aren't vaccinated. I go back to the concert venue that I mentioned earlier with the listener of mine that asked about the X on the back of the hand of unvaccinated versus a nice, neat, cool armband that if you are vaccinated, you get that one instead. I mean, just this entire way they're playing it, which leads me into one more discussion, not totally, because we're going to come back. And again, all of what we talk about here, as you guys can tell that are listening to the podcast on a routine basis, we kind of keep circling back to some of these things because it's what's right in front of us right now and what's affecting each and every one of us. And I do think, Neil, and this goes to you and Roger both being pastors, I do think this is a conditioning of individuals. I think it's a conditioning even of the church world as to what's to come, how can things be used down the road. If we get people conditioned now to buy into certain things, how much easier it is to get certain things done, you know, as we move forward. And then I want to top that off by, and this is, Neil, what you and I were talking about even before we came onto the podcast today, and that is the fact that there are individuals out there. We've seen these people for years and years and years now. In fact, I feel like a lot of the folks that are in the quote-unquote green movement are of the same venue of idea, if you would, and that is that the earth is overpopulated. There's far too many people on earth. If we can cull the herd, if you would, get rid of some people, save Mother Earth in the grand scheme of things, even if we have to lose a few souls along the way, and I use that term specifically, guys, because these are souls, I believe. If we have to lose a few souls along the way, so be it. It's all for the greater good of Mother Earth, and that's what we should be doing anyway. So if we have to lose a billion people on the planet to get Mother Earth in better shape, then by God, that's exactly what we need to be doing. That's the mentality, I believe, of some of these individuals that are out there, and I believe they're using some of what we're talking about to accomplish that.
Yeah, and it's frightening. So we need to take a break, don't we? Let's do that.
We do.
And John, I've got questions for you. I'm sure Roger has some questions or things he wants to say as well. But we'll be back with more in just a moment. You're listening to the National Crawford Roundtable Podcast.
Dr. Michael Youssef leads the way for people living in spiritual darkness to discover the light of Jesus Christ. This tremendous outreach begins with the proclamation of God's Word through the uncompromising biblical teaching of Dr. Michael Youssef. Leading the Way is here to equip and strengthen the church to stand strong and to advance the gospel in today's ever-changing world. Listen to Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef at ltw.org/listen and be sure to mention you heard about their program on the National Crawford Roundtable Podcast.
National Crawford Roundtable Podcast. I hope all of you during the course of our conversation have been putting together your tinfoil hats and that you've moved down into your basement bunker so that you can listen to the end of this conversation. Now, what's weird is that we're having to like disclaim even our conversation about this kind of stuff, but tell me that we've ever lived in a more bizarre time than when these kinds of decisions are being made. John, one thing I wanted to say in addition to what you just brought up, because we did have a brief conversation about it and then agreed to stop the conversation so we could discuss it here for the first time. But I remember there was an organization called Zero Population Growth. I don't even know if they still exist. Yep. But I, like in 1970, I was in about sixth grade or something, and I was sitting in class, and I remember they mentioned Earth Day for the first time. And I remember the TV commercial of the indigenous person, formerly known as Native American, who had a teardrop running down his eye while he looked at a pile of pollution, and you know, and it was, we need to get out and clean up the earth, we need to take care of things, and
everybody. Who, by the way, was an Italian guy, not even a Native American.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Okay, that's just unbelievable.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, but I'm sorry.
I'm not exaggerating. Okay.
All right, wow. Okay, so anyway, we all remember those days. But the idea back then was that one day the world would have so many people on this planet that we would just make each other extinct. There'd not be enough food. I remember that each person would have 1 square foot of space to live on, and obviously that hasn't happened, at least not to date. But as much as early as like 6 months ago, we were seeing articles saying that the vast majority of countries are actually in negative population growth. China took away its one child per person rule because they were in decline, you know, in terms of population. Mm-hmm. The United States, like, teetering on the brink of being in population decline. A lot of it, I'm sure, due to abortion, other health concerns, the aging of our population. People are having less children, bottom line. Families are having less children. Yeah. So whatever's causing it, but the point is that the population is not an issue anymore, but it is in the minds of some. And John, what was that quote you shared with me? Something about the wealthy.
Oh, it's called affluence. You know, the biggest way to keep a country's population growth down, and it's proven now in the United States of America. Neil, you just said it a moment ago. We're at 1.8 birth rate. A country needs to sustain 2.3 or have mass immigration to even sustain their economy. So we're well below where we need to be as a country, and it continues to decline. And what I read this book years and years and years ago. It was, I can't remember the name of it now, but it was years ago, and it was written by a pretty left-leaning, you know, liberal individual that basically said, you know, the biggest control of population on planet Earth is affluence. Affluence will keep people from having more kids automatically just by default. We've shown it in the United States of America. Europe has shown it. China now, to your point, Neil, is showing it. The reality is, you know, outside of the Islamic community, affluence keeps the birth rate down. Wow. And it shouldn't, but it does.
Incredible. Mm. Roger, make some sense of this.
Well, you know, it is interesting when you put it that way. The fact that that these are people who still have this mentality and still have this this thought process, but that one thing that it does take into consideration that the biblical worldview does not is that it puts all of life on one level playing field and says no life is any greater than any other. And the reality is, we know the biblical worldview says, look, God created Adam, God created Eve, and He put man above everything. Just a little lower than the angels. So I mean, we've had the responsibility of caring for creation, naming the animals, you know, not hurting each other, but doing it anyway. You know, we had the responsibility to not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and we blew it. I mean, everything kind of begins and ends with us. But the idea that we would say, okay, well, the only way we're going to save the environment is to get rid of a billion people, I don't think that falls squarely in God's plan. I mean, we have the responsibility to care for nature, to care for the environment, to care for each other, but that's something that we have to do. And how do you determine? I mean, some of the same people who are saying, John, you're talking about thinning the herd with regard to population control. Some of the same people are saying, oh, but you're not going to get me sick with this. There's no way. You get yourself vaccinated and you're not going to take my life, but by golly, you might have to give yours up because, you know, it's for the good of the squirrel. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I think back to the New York Times, 20 more extinctions reported today, and there might be millions more in the next few decades if we don't do whatever. Hey, guys, we've been trying to protect the Delta smelt here in California for 40 years. It's a tiny little fish that no one's seen for decades, and yet we spend millions of dollars every year, and we literally flush millions of gallons of rainwater into the ocean every year just to make sure that the smelt don't go extinct. So, I mean, when you get right down to it, oftentimes man's solutions aren't really any better. Sometimes they're far more damaging than God's solutions of, quote, sometimes, unquote, letting nature take its course.
You smelt killer, Roger. Hey,
that's right. Delta smelt, buddy.
You know, Roger, everything you just said, though, is so true. And this is, again, where you two guys being pastors can speak to this even more so than I can. And, you know, I look at every individual as There's a soul there. There's a soul that upon death will go to heaven or hell, one or the other. And I've said on my program now heavily for the last few weeks, guys, that I see this as a good versus evil situation that we have going on in the world today.
Agreed.
And by the way, I keep saying this, I'm going to keep saying this, there's no middle ground here. You can't stand in the middle and say, well, you know, I'm okay with this and I'm not so okay with that. No, the reality is you're on one side or the other. You're either for good or you're for evil. If you're not for good, by the way, everybody listening, if you're not in that camp, you are automatically by default in the other camp. There is no in-between here. And yet I think the world out there today, guys, is telling us that, yeah, there is this in-between. You can be a little bit of both and that's okay. But the reality is, guys, you can't.
Jesus was very clear when he said, he who's not for me is against me. You know, that you're either a friend of God or an enemy of God. I mean, full stop. That's where it is. There is good and there is evil in the world. And one of the biggest problems that I see, not only is the fact that there are people who would call evil good and good evil, but many of those people occupy the church. They show up in church services on Sunday. They profess the faith in Christ, and yet they will go out of their way. I mean, look at George Barnes doing great work at the Arizona Christian University Cultural Research Center with his American Worldview Inventory. And when you look at the number of people who profess faith in Christ, it's 176 million. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. By the time you actually start sorting that out, what exactly does that mean, you know, in terms of biblical inerrancy, et cetera, et cetera, the number 176 million actually whittles down to about 15 million.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think one of the great deceptions of the age right now that we as Christians have fallen victim to is saying America is a Christian nation, the majority of Americans are Christians, and so why does all this happen? Well, the reason why it happens is because the majority of Americans aren't Christians. And that doesn't mean that we don't have our work cut out for us, but maybe we shouldn't be sending people to Bangladesh and Africa, and maybe we should be sending them to Buffalo and to Denver and to L.A., you know, to do mission
good
work.
Point.
Because,
you know,
quite frankly, the whole idea of preaching to the choir, quite frankly, I mean, we're preaching to choirs every day, you know, on our radio programs, people who have a biblical worldview and people who think they have a biblical worldview. And, you know, we have a responsibility to just preach the true gospel, you know, the fact that we're sinners, we can't save ourselves. Jesus Christ is the antidote for sin. And heck, I say, look, don't worry about getting the jab or not getting the jab when it comes to COVID-19. The blood is far more important than whatever's in that serum
Amen.
That people are putting in.
Amen, Roger.
Let me just add quickly, I think that when people are in darkness, they find hope in light. In other words, if you're in a dark cave and you see all of a sudden a little piece of light, it only takes a little bit of light to conquer darkness, by the way. And Christ is the light of the world. His light can shine from within us to people that are living in darkness and despair. And let me just say overall, like on the population control thing, to just tie it kind of together, I'm not sure it ties a ribbon on our entire conversation, but it might clear up just one area. If the world is truly, by the way, you mentioned for a country to grow, it needs mass immigration if they're not having, 2.3 kids per family, which
that's
isn't
right.
happening anymore in the U.S. Okay, somebody might argue, well, then that's why we should have open borders and bring all these people here. Okay, fine, but you're exiting another country to come to this one. Overall, the world is not gaining population. We're losing population at this point. So overpopulation really isn't the issue. The real issue in my mind is overpopulation of undesirables. And so I think we really need to look at that. And there is no conspiracy theory about the reality that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He hates believers. He hates lost people. He hates everyone. Satan is about destroying the earth, destroying God's creation.
He's a stealer, Neil. Let's say it as it is. He's a stealer.
Yeah. Bottom line. So let's recognize that there is something at play here. And John, you nailed it with good and evil. It's light and darkness. It's good and evil. It's God versus Satan. And I was thinking of Psalm 118, I think it's verse 6. It says, the Lord is on my side. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? And I think as believers, we really need to cling to the reality that God is for us. He has a plan and purpose for us, and that we've got a message to share right now that will be of great hope to people that are living in darkness.
And if I can dovetail on what Neil just said, Isaiah 54 as well, no weapon formed against God will ever prosper. It won't prevail. And the weapons that are being used against good right now in the culture are misinformation, lies, deceit. I mean, it's way more than just, do you wear a mask or not? Do you get a jab or not? Those are individual decisions. We've all talked to Christians. Obviously, Neil's sitting here, you know, saying what his story is, and we completely and fully support that. It has nothing to do with that. It really doesn't. And yet, yet the world would like you to believe it is. You know, if the vaxxed would, the unvaxxed would just get vaxxed, then we could all live in perfect harmony. And they don't realize what's happening here with regard to control and who is telling you how to live your life and basically what's happening to your soul, because there will come a day. I know we haven't really touched on this that much, but I'm not suggesting that people who've been vaccinated are taking the mark of the beast. Obviously, that's not true. I mean, people I love who are Christians have gotten vaccinated and people who are not. But does it not at least lay the foundation, this kind of herd mentality that says that if you don't have this, you're going to get the black X on your hand instead of the cool little wristband? You know, it's these are all just birth pangs, guys. I mean, and if we miss that, I don't want to overstate it and make more of it than it actually is. But we would be remiss in our duty as pastors, as Christian brothers, as broadcasters, to not at least acknowledge the fact that the framework is at least being set up for someone to come in and say, okay, well, if you want to buy and sell, there are certain cities in California right now, certain proposals that are saying the only places you would be allowed to go if you weren't vaccinated and didn't have proof of the vaccine card would be your church or your supermarket. You know, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, I mean, so you can't go to the movies, you can't have a good time, you can't go to the bank, you can't go to the post office, for crying out loud. I mean, when does it end? But the framework has been established now through this this COVID pandemic, and we would be wise to pay attention to what happens next in that direction.
Amen. All right, and guys, there's always more to come. Neil Boron out of Buffalo, New York, Roger Marsh out of California, Southern California. I'm John Rush out of Denver, Colorado. And guys, all I'm going to leave our listeners with is this. Which side are you on? Are you on the side of good? Or are you on the side of evil? Because, folks, there's no in-between. That's the National Crawford Roundtable. It's a joy having you listen to us each and every week. Give us a 5-star review. You can catch the podcast on all the platforms that are out there. And if you're listening to us, you've already found that, so I don't need to say much more about that. We'll be back next week. Bob should be back with us as well. You guys have a great week. We love y'all. Thank you so much for listening. Again, this is the National Crawford Roundtable Podcast.
This has been the National Crawford Roundtable Podcast. Thank you for joining us. Download and subscribe to the National Crawford Roundtable Podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, and more. Apple users can rate the podcast, and we'd appreciate your 5-star rating. National Crawford Roundtable Podcast returns with a new discussion each week. Be sure to watch for the notification on your podcast app. This has been a Crawford Media Group production.